We're going to begin an eight-week series of messages through Psalm 138 through Psalm 145 with this theme of drawing closer to God. And today, Psalm 138. When I first met Joy off at college, I was a freshman and she was a senior, which meant I got to go home during breaks and tell the guys, I'm dating a senior. I said that with some pride, and they were somewhat impressed. But then I thought about poor Joy. She had to go home and tell her family, well, he's a freshman, but he's very mature for his age. I think back to those early days and how little we knew about each other at first. Joy from Manassas, Virginia. I'm from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. Met at college. We didn't know each other before our meeting, and there we knew what we liked what we knew and got to know each other better. But then you fast forward from that beginning of knowing virtually nothing to being married 31 years where we know each other quite well. I mean, only God knows each other better than we know. So how did that happen? How do you go from getting introduced to knowing somebody better than anybody else on the planet knows them? Well, it starts early with a decision, where at some point early you go, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. That was my decision. Now, thankfully, Joy agreed with my decision. All right, I agree that we'll spend the rest of our lives together. So there's this big early decision, but isn't that followed up by daily decisions? Then we'll live that out. We're going to spend lots of time together. We have lots of conversations. We're going to experience the good and bad of life together. So there are hardships and there are victories. And there's encouragement to each other, a lot of forgiveness to each other, all to where you think, I know you really, really well this far down the line. Well, we're talking about knowing God, and I want you to know that you can know God like that, that God is knowable. You can have a relationship with God, and you can get to know God better as the days go by. In fact, that's what this series is all about, and I hope you'll see that with me. Now, it begins with the decision that I'm going to then respond to what God has been offering to me. God's been offering me forgiveness. God has offered me relationship. And so the big decision each of us has to make is this. I'm in. I'm going to respond to God's initiative. He wants a relationship with me. He wants to forgive my sins. He wants to give me heaven. Then I'll say yes to that. Jesus, yes to you at last, yes. And then you're going to follow that up with daily decisions. All right, how am I going to use this day? Oh, I want to get to know God better. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Now, I have us in the Psalms because it's a perfect place for us to see that, to see that it's possible. From the book of Psalms, you learn so much about God, which we're going to see. But it also is a great place to check your spiritual temperature. Through the years, I've returned to the Psalms over and over again, and there you can decide and determine and see if you need revival or not. I feel pretty close to God. And then you read the Psalms, and you might go, oh, there's another level I could be going when I see the relationship of the psalmist to God. So I have us here, Psalm 138. Let's see it together. It says here, it's a psalm of David, then verse 1. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. So we're considering together how to draw closer to the Lord. And the first thing we need to see is this. We need to grow in praise and worship. You and I, as we want to draw closer to God, we need to grow in praise and worship. And notice verse 1 here. David is overjoyed, and he says, I will give you thanks, I love it, with all my heart, and I will sing praises to you. I want you to hear with me, first of all, how personal that is. David's addressing God accurately as somebody you can know. I'm praising you. I'm giving you thanks. Look, the world is full of religions which are very impersonal in the way they address their deity. For many religions, it's just doing the rituals. Let me just do the things that appease the deity or the deities. As long as they're not mad at me, I just want to do the stuff. My heart's not in it, but he says do this, and therefore I'm doing that. David doesn't approach God like that. You can know God. You can grow to know him quite well. In fact, if you put your faith in Jesus, you're not just relating to him, but you become family. He becomes your father. You become a child of God when you respond to Jesus and put your faith in him. Think about it with me. Even the commands of God are not to be carried out in an impersonal way. If we go to the Ten Commandments, do you remember what the first one is? The first commandment is this, very relational. You shall have no other gods before me. That's relationship. In fact, then he goes on to say, you should not make for yourself any graven images, no idols. And then he explains why. He says, because I'm a jealous God. Those are the terms of relationship that you and I relate together. It's an exclusive relationship. So David writes this way in his praise and worship. It's very personal. Second, notice it, it's intense. I'm going to thank you with all my heart. Matthew Henry called this the fervency of affection. David had affection for God. Spurgeon said it this way, we need a broken heart to mourn our own sins, but a whole heart to praise the Lord's perfections. If ever a heart is whole and wholly occupied with one thing, it should be when we're praising the Lord. So we don't come into praise and thanks like, I'm sort of into that. When we're giving thanks to God, all of us is engaged. And David says, I'm giving you thanks with all my heart. So it's personal, it's intense, but also it's enjoyable. When you think about a deepening relationship with God, I hope you're not thinking, yeah, the fun's over. I used to have fun, but now I'm going to get serious about God. No, notice here, he's thrilled. He's talking about thanks. He's talking about praise, and he is excited about it. I love this statement. I will sing praises to you before the gods. What's that? So first of all, this is David expressing genuine joy in the Lord, but at the same time, he's uttering contempt toward every other false god. Though many others might direct their worship to other things, David said, not me. Even in the face of all these things that are false and not real, I'm giving all my devotion and worship to you alone. This is how our missionaries live their lives. So right now on the Lord's Day, all over the world, there are missionaries and Christian nationals all over the world, and they're giving their praise and devotion to Jesus only. But while they're doing so in the face of other gods. And so while worshiping Jesus, they might be hearing the call to prayer coming through their windows and through their walls. But nevertheless, I know what they're worshiping. Oh, but Jesus, all of our devotion is to you. Or in the Hindu world, as the believers in Jesus are giving their worship to him only, they might be hearing the firecrackers going off and all the chanting and shouting of some Hindu celebration going on. But it's all right. I'm aware that I'm here for them. I'm here to share the good news with them. But even while they do that, all my praise and worship is to you. And you and I do the same thing right here where we live. We're aware that not everybody follows the Lord. We live in a land of atheists and agnostics and people chasing after money. Maybe that's their God. And we say, okay, I get that. And we love them and we have good news for them. But even while they do that, my whole heart is directed toward the Lord. Now notice the reasons why David is overflowing with gratitude to God. And I want you to see, do you have room for growth even in your gratitude? Here, notice he says, I'm giving thanks for his thanksgiving. And he goes on to talk about the Lord's truth. That's verse 2. Continuing in verse 2, he gives another reason why he's so overjoyed in the Lord. He speaks of God's word and God's name. And then he speaks about answered prayer. Notice verse 3 again. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. So these are three great reasons why you and I ought to praise the Lord. For his mercy and grace. So we can say, for the love of God. So why would I be overjoyed? God loves me. He's been pouring out mercy to me. He's not giving me what I deserve. He's given me love and mercy and grace. So I give thanks for his love and for his word. For the truth of God. That he would desire to communicate with us. That God has made himself knowable so we can relate to him. So God, I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your word. And I'm thankful for prayer. That you tell me to call on you and that you will answer. These are three great reasons to praise the Lord. And so think with me a minute about the Word. Are you thankful for the Word of God? If you spend time in it, you'll be increasingly grateful. This is an amazing treasure. Now, one of my favorite genres of TV show to watch are those survival shows. Anybody like the survival genre of shows? Anybody? Or it's just me. It's just me, Joy. It's me. Apparently. So I like them, and I like the real ones. I don't like the ones where there's a camera crew that you don't see, but it's clear with all the different angles. There's a crew there. He's not really alone out there. I like the ones when the guy's really alone. He's filming himself, and he's really on his own. One of those shows, they let you take about 15 items from a list of things, and something usually for a tarp for your structure, and you're gonna maybe build something more elaborate once you get there, but something sharp, something for fire and all that. But I've been thinking about, if I were there, by the way, admittedly, I would never make it. I just watch the shows. I just like to dream about it, but I know I wouldn't make it a day. But I thought about if I were out there, and they spend a month or two or longer out there, I think I'd have to take a Bible. I'd have to take the scriptures. Now, I got to eat, of course. I got to do all these other things. But among the 15 items, something's got to go that I might have God's Word. I'm grateful for the verses I've memorized, but that wouldn't do. I want the Word of God. So if I were alone somewhere for months, I got to have the Word of God. But even if I'm in a crowd of people, masses of people, then I still need the Word of God. I think about our students, those of you who are off at college or heading off to college. Hey, you need to take the Word of God with you. You need to read that thing daily. You need the treasure of God's Word. And so notice here, David, his relationship with God is marked by this overflowing thanksgiving to God for these types of things. And this ought to be a mark of our lives as well, gratitude, praise and worship. Here's just some examples throughout the scriptures about this. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, listen, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. In your walk with God, do you see room to grow to where you're overflowing with gratitude? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Or Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Or Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then this, Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So we're talking about drawing close. We're talking about the need to grow in praise and worship of the Lord. And let me ask you, do you see room for growth there? For what are you giving God thanks in your life? For many people, it's just at mealtime. That's the only time Thanksgiving even comes up. Feels like the right thing to do. My parents taught me that. We're about to eat a bologna sandwich. And so therefore, let's just pause a second. Thank you for our food. Some people, it's that. And by the way, that's a great thing to do. Thank God for the meal, no matter how humble it is. But then it's like, well, I thank God for my food. And if I have a pretty day, there's a pretty day out there. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. That's not bad. But if that's the extent of your gratitude, let Psalm 138 draw you closer. How about having a heart overflowing? The love of God, the Word of God, this privilege of prayer. This is a living God who's responding to my praying. So let's grow closer by growing in praise and worship. Secondly, from Psalm 138, we see this, the need to grow in our grasp of the greatness of God. Grow in your grasp of the greatness of God. Look at verse 4. David writes, all the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. I love this. David is personally grateful. He's exalting in the Lord himself, but he quickly realizes, you know, more praise should go to the Lord than just from my lips. And his mind goes to the nations, and his mind goes to all the kings of the earth. He says, you know, there's coming a day when all of them too will give worship to the God who is worthy of that. I love that his mind goes there. I wish I could praise God more than I do, but there's coming a day. So it's more than just wishful thinking. It's a declaration that it's going to be so. It's a prayer that it would be so, that there will be worship going to the Lord from all over the world. When you experience the greatness of God, you want other people to know that with you, right? Now, some things in your life you experience, there are good things, but you think, it's okay if you don't share my excitement about it. So if I had a favorite steakhouse and you had your favorite steakhouse, I'm not going to debate you about that. I'm just happy you're eating steak sometimes, you know? That's a good thing. Or if I had a favorite ice cream place and you had your favorite place, I'm not going to debate you. I'm happy you're having your ice cream. I'm having mine. But when it comes to God, the one God who is a God as amazing as he is, then the whole world should be giving worship and praise to him. Worship should be universal to him. In fact, Paul had this same awareness of the greatness of God. Remember what he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9? He says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So David in the Old Testament had it. I'm praising you with my whole heart, and all the kings of the earth will one day be singing your praises. Paul in the New Testament, there's coming a day when every knee will bow to Jesus, every tongue will confess that he truly is Lord. When Christ returns, that day is coming. The Lord is worthy of that right now. And so I love this. David is praising God with his whole heart, but he's aware that others ought to be as well. It reminds me of some of those great hymns in the Christian faith where the writer of the hymn expresses that same idea. I'm praising, oh, but more should be praising. How about the hymn, this one, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. You ever heard that one? It has this line in it. Over a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. And then in the last verse of the song, it has this line. Had I a thousand hearts to give, my Lord, they all were thine. You ever felt that way in praise? I'm giving you all I've got. I have one mouth, one tongue, and I am praising you. But I wish I had a thousand mouths. I wish I had a thousand tongues. I love that idea. Oh, Lord, my whole heart is yours, but I wish I had a thousand hearts to give to you. Just considering, is there room for me to grow closer to the Lord? Do I need to grow in the greatness of God where I just want to worship him more because he's worthy of more? How about the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross? It has this in it. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Lord, I'm already giving you all of me, but oh, I wish I could give you everything else because you are worthy and you're great. This one might be my favorite. The love of God is greater far. Listen to these words. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Now catch the imagery here. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Do you get that? The writer of that song is like, man, if we could just fill the oceans with ink, and if we could find all kinds of quills, and if the whole sky were a parchment or some kind of canvas, and we started writing about the love of God, we would drain the ocean trying to describe the greatness of God's love. That's what we're talking about. This is a God who's amazing. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of so much more, and we get caught up in his greatness. So are you captivated by the greatness of God, like we see here in Psalm 138, even as some of these hymn writers were trying to convey, are you captivated by that? Does your prayer life approach something like that? Is there room for you to grow closer to the Lord? Are you thinking of the nations when you're praising God? Oh, God, I'm praising you, but what about Asia? What about Africa? What about South America? Lord, a whole world needs to know you, someone as awesome as you. So grow in praise and worship. Grow in your grasp of the greatness of God. And then third, grow in confidence in God. Grow in your confidence in God. And notice how the shift in tense takes place here in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the work of your hands. I love this. David's been praising, and because of his understanding of the greatness of God and the great love of God toward him, it gives him confidence as he faces the present. He says, I have trouble in the midst of my troubles. I bet you would be able to say the same thing. You say, I'd praise God like that too if I didn't have any troubles. But David's modeling for us, in the midst of your troubles, you can have this big, grand, accurate view of God that leads you to praise. You have troubles. Maybe it's money troubles. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe you feel like people hate you for some reason, and you feel like you're on the outs. He's like, I got troubles. David said, this is real world worship right here. I got it too, he would tell you. And yet God is great. And so David had this unshakable confidence here. God, you're going to take care of me, even in the midst of the trouble. It's the same thing he said in the 23rd Psalm. Famously there, he said in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why not? Because you're with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So he knew God well, and it led to confidence in his life. Reasons for confidence? First of all, God is greater than any problem that you and I have. David said here, in my troubles, you're going to revive me. I'm confident of that. You're going to stretch out your hand against my enemies. I'm confident of that. Your right hand will save me. I'm confident of that. And David certainly experienced it. We think about that famous encounter with Goliath and God showed up faithful. How about those times when King Saul was trying to kill David or when his own son Absalom was trying to kill him and God was faithful to him? David had confidence in him. So God's greater than any of our problems and God is accomplishing his plan. It says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. It reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. We have reason for confidence in this God. And then ultimately, we can be confident in this great God because he loves us and cares for us. Notice again the scripture. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. So I have troubles. I live in the midst of troubles, but my troubles are temporary. Even the people, these enemies, David says, even the enemies that are causing me trouble, they are temporary. O Lord, but your love, your loving kindness, that is everlasting. I'll experience that forever. So I want you to see how helpful growing close to the Lord is, growing in praise and worship, how helpful that is. First of all, it's due God. He's worthy of that. But notice also, it's very practical. So imagine this. You're walking with God, consumed by his greatness. You are enjoying him. You're enthralled with God. You have this mindset, oh, if I could just fill the oceans with ink so I could talk about the love of God and I'd run out of room. So if you're caught up in God like that, and then you encounter the problems of life, you're more in the mindset to successfully handle those than if you're not. So praise is practical when you're caught up in God. So God, you're amazing. You're great. There's nobody greater than you. You deserve worship all over the world. And then here comes a problem. Well, you're less likely to worry in that problem when you've been caught up in the greatness of God. So worship, God's worthy of worship. But listen, this praise is practical. God, you're big. So every problem you hit, all right, that's tough. I don't want that problem. But Lord, with you, that's more than manageable. You're bigger than all this. And so we must walk with God. This is David. I'm caught up in you. I want the kings to worship you, and I am in problems, but I'm confident this God I've been worshiping is going to help me out in the future with the problems that I have. And so do you know this God? Is God showing you that there's room for you to draw closer? I would imagine some of you going, oh, I could get a lot closer. My walk with Jesus doesn't look anything like what David just described there. I could go a whole lot closer. Isn't that wonderful? God wants you close. He wants you to know him like that. Oh, I urge you today and in the weeks to come, walk closer, get tighter with him. Do you know him like David? Are you growing in him? I think far too many people, they think they have enough. I met Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. And I know him pretty well. I don't. So maybe you even came this morning not really expecting much. I'm just going to come do it. It's good to do it. I don't know that there's anything more for me as a Christian. Just keep doing this until Jesus comes. But I hope this is shocking you awake that, oh, there's a lot of joy I've been leaving on the table. I could get closer to him. What if you were trying to tell a friend about how wonderful it is to go to the beach You said the ocean is there, and the ocean's amazing, and it's as far as you can see, and it's beautiful at the beach. And what if they were not interested because they've been to cobblestones? Anybody know what cobblestones? It used to be called Overhill Lake. It's right down the road. I'm not dissing cobblestones. I've been there. It's a nice place. But if somebody said, I know what you're talking about. I know about the ocean. I've never been, but I've been to cobblestones. They've got that big pool. They got some slides there. In fact, even Cobblestone says this on their website. Again, I'm not knocking cobblestones, but they say this. Relax on one of our expansive beach areas, complete with gigantic 20-foot umbrellas and picnic tables. Why travel 3 hours to the beach when you can enjoy a day at Cobblestones? I got to tell you, I've spent a day at Cobblestones. It's worth the 3 hours to the beach. If you can't go to the beach, Cobblestones is great. There is some sand. There's some slides. But if somebody were to say to me, I got Cobblestones. I don't see what the big deal. You've never been to the beach then. You've never been. It's amazing. It's awesome. And the sound and God's creation. So listen, maybe you've been that way spiritually. What could there be more than what I've been doing? I mean, I come, I go home, I live my life. What? I'll tell you, there's a lot here. There's a God who loves you more than you've been appreciating. There's a God of great power. There's oceans of God's love available to you. Oceans of God's power available to you. So much to experience in God. Don't stay in the shallows. Go deep with God. Walk closer to Him. So it's going to start with a decision. All right, Lord, I'm going to respond. You're offering me this. You're offering me forgiveness. You're offering me adoption. You're offering me everlasting life. Then yes, I'm making the biggest decision of my life. I'm turning from all the other secondary things I've been doing. I'm coming to you, Jesus, and I'm trusting only you. That's your big decision. And then follow that up with daily decisions. How am I going to spend this life? There's a lot of things, a lot of lesser things that you could busy yourself with. But what about this? Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you well. I want to grow to know you like David knew you here. So here's a practical move for you. David talked about how thankful he was for the Word of God. Hey, be thankful for it. Take it up and read it. If you've never had the habit of reading the Bible, how about this? We're in the book of Psalms for the next 8 Sundays. Why don't you just start reading early in the Psalms? Just read Psalms. You're going to learn to pray by reading the Psalms. He says, I don't know how to pray. Psalms will teach you how to pray. What to pray about? Psalms is going to help you. You can grow fast. You get to know this living God through the Word that He inspires so that you could know Him. And then pray to Him. David said, I'm thankful for answered prayer. Do the same thing. All right, God, I'm going to read your Word, and then I'm going to pray these things back to you. I'm going to talk about what you've talked to me about so that these things will be real in my life. Listen, David said, I'm so glad, God, you answer my prayers. He will answer your prayers as well. Get to know this living God, but make your big decision. Put your faith in Jesus. Let's pray together.